for Christmas. But as a pastor, I am getting ready a number of sermons, as I'll be preaching a few different places. And one of the things that I decided to do to get ready for Christmas was to read through kind of the story of how Christ came into the world. And of course, it always leads me back to Luke. It's one of my favorite passages in Luke, especially in just at the beginning of Luke. And I figured, well, let's read the whole account. And so I've been reading through this just to kind of prepare my heart for Christmas and to put myself in the mood. I wore my Christmas tie. And then God blessed us with a bucket load of snow up in Newmarket where I live. Anyways, we had that much snow. So for those of you that live around here, you are blessed by God. Although it looks really nice up where I live. So anyways, hopefully we're starting to get into the mood for Christmas. I see your Christmas trees up already, so, and there's one out in the foyer too. So the church is starting to get riveted and ready for Christmas time. So that's always a good thing, right? It's a good time of the year. So I'm kind of set for Christmas, except for the Christmas present part. Today, I wanted to look at Luke chapter 1, just the passage that we read, because as I've been preparing myself for Christmas, I read through this, and I was kind of thinking, you know, this could have been a lot shorter. That was a long passage to read, wasn't it? Oh, you know, yeah, it was. I even told Pastor Stan, I emailed him when he asked me for the scripture passage, and I said, well, you can put chapter 1, verse 5 to 16, or if you have someone that's, you know, confident in their reading abilities, just have them go right through to verse 25. So I guess he's confident in your abilities. Because I thought, you know, it's such a long passage, and I could have said it much more succinctly. Well, maybe I couldn't have. But, I mean, you could summarize it. You know, John had a baby named... Zachariah had a baby named John, and he was going to be the one that prepares the way for the Lord. There you go. So why include this passage in the scripture? Yeah, it's important that we know who John is and that he was going to be filled with the Spirit, but we didn't really have to have all of that long explanation, did we? So I was asking myself that. And I realized that, you know what, this passage that I read through every year, but there's stuff in there that you can apply to your life. And it's like, oh yeah, it's God's word. It's inspired by him. And none of it is there just arbitrarily. And so I looked back at it again, and I found a few nuggets. And so I wanted to just share some of my thoughts, some of the things that the Lord showed me, and hopefully, you know, just even as we read God's word, part of it will hit you in a special way today too. So let's pray and ask that the Lord would touch our hearts together this morning. Well, Heavenly Father, as it comes close to Christmas time, it's the last week before December comes. We ask that our hearts would be filled with anticipation of the celebration of the time when you sent your son Jesus Christ into the world to live as a little baby, to live among us, and ultimately to show his and your incredible love for us by dying on the cross for us. Lord, we pray that as we prepare our hearts for this time of season, that would be the number one focus in our minds, that Jesus is the incredible, most perfect gift that we could ever have received. And we pray, Lord, this morning that as we have prepared our hearts to hear from you through our singing and our prayers and as we've read your word, Lord, we desire to hear from you. So, Lord, if our hearts are not ready yet, we pray now that your Spirit would open us to receive from you. Help us to be ready to receive from you whatever it is you desire to teach us this morning. And we pray your blessing on your word. May it be your word that touches and impacts our hearts this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So as I read this passage, I'm going to leave these on. You're a little bit blurry, but it's easier than... Okay, so I won't fiddle as much today. So as I was thinking about this passage, one of the things that really kind of stands out to me is answered prayer, or even unanswered prayer. And it reminds me of one time when I was younger, I was helping a friend move, and I may have shared this story before, but it gives you an example of a quick answered prayer. I was helping my friend move, and it was a little bit slippery and a little icy, and I was driving from London to St. Thomas, and we were going over an overpass, because we went over the 401 to his place, and I hit an icy patch, and the car started to spin. Now, if you're on an overpass, you realize that means that you could fall down, right, into oncoming traffic, into the 401 traffic. And I remember it was a very short prayer. It was, Lord, help! I mean, I was going, you know, when you're going this way, you're supposed to go with the wheels, and I'm like, if I go with the wheels, I'm going right over. Very quick prayer. The car was spinning, and it came to a stop. Thank you, Lord. Then I was facing the wrong direction and had to quickly turn around and carry on. That's an example of an immediate answer to prayer, right? We've all had those experiences, one of those close calls, and sometimes we're like, oh, phew. And we don't even say thank you, Lord. Maybe a phew means thank you to God. I think in our hearts it often does. Sometimes when we pray those quick prayers and God answers our prayers, we do thank him. Other times we don't. We just, oh, woo, that was close. Regardless, God does answer our prayers, doesn't he? Now, sometimes it seems like God doesn't answer our prayers. And if we look at this particular passage, we see that Zechariah and his wife Elizabeth are older, they're aged, they're elderly people, and they have not had a son. Now, in this culture and time, when they were alive, it was considered a blessing to have children. And in fact, it is a blessing to have children even now. So if the Lord has blessed you in that way, wonderful. I have two. I'm very blessed by God. It doesn't always feel that way, but it's true. But children are a blessing from God. And in that culture, you know, if you don't have children and you've been married, especially for a long time, people might kind of wonder, like, what's wrong with them? Like, God doesn't like them. Or God has cursed them. Or, oh, I know what it is. One of them has sin in their lives. And you can imagine the gossip going around, because here's Zechariah, one of the servants of God, a priest before the Lord, and he hasn't got children. What sin is he doing? Oh, it must be her. Who knows what people are saying and what people have said to them, too. Like, well, do you have any unconfessed sin you want to tell me about, and we'll deal with it? Or maybe people just kind of talked behind their back. We're not really sure, right? It doesn't say that in the scripture. But you can imagine in their culture, though, that they often felt awkward. When I was working at North Toronto Chinese Alliance Church, I had just gotten married, literally 2 weeks married, and started at the church. And anyone here understand the Chinese culture a little bit? Actually, there's a number of people just newly married. How many times have you already been asked, you gonna have children yet? Are you planning? You know, and we were asked, like, it's like, hello, we just got married. And, like, when are you gonna have children? I don't know. Like, children? I'm just getting to know my wife still. And it was challenging. So we came up with a good answer. We said, oh, well, we've decided we're gonna wait 5 years and that got everyone off our back. But in the Chinese culture, right, it's like, you know, when are you having kids? What's your holdup? Come on. Right? And that's kind of what it was like that to for them too. I mean, it may have been even more pressure because for them it was considered God's blessing on your life if you had children. And so I can't imagine what they were going through. And we know that they've been praying for a long time because, well, we've read through the story, right? And we kind of know what happens. They end up having children. And the angel said to Zechariah, in verse 13, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. And so we know that they've been praying about this for a long time because they're older in life. And in fact, later on, he says, well, how can this be? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. And so you know that they must have been praying for a long time. And so there's this long, unanswered period of prayer in their lives. And how do you deal with that? We love it when we get those instantaneous answers to prayer, don't we? Oh God, help! Whew. Close call. Thank you, God. But what about the times when we pray and God doesn't give us the answer? Or he doesn't give us the answer that we want? Well, how do we respond? How do we respond is actually maybe even more important than why hasn't God answered our prayer? And in fact, one thing that I like to say is that God does always answer prayer. Sometimes it's yes, sometimes it's no, and other times it's not yet. And we have to decide which one it is. Well, yes, we always know. But sometimes we get confused with the no and the not yet if it's not immediate. So how do we respond when God doesn't answer our prayers right away? Has anyone here ever had an unanswered prayer? Nope. Oh, only the front row because the rest of you are sleeping. Oh, I've got my fuzzy glasses on. Oh, there we go. Okay, at the back. Sure, we've all prayed and the Lord hasn't really answered our prayers right away. You know, I remember when I was, how old was I? I don't know. I was around 25-ish, and I hadn't had a girlfriend in a while. I'd had a lot of friends that were girls, but, you know, no, hey, how you doing? You know, and I'm 25, right? And my friends are starting to get hitched and, you know, and then there's Glenn, you know. Hey, you guys all want to go out? Oh, you're all married now. Yay. So I'm, yay, third wheel all the time. You know, and you start to pray, God, can I have one? You know, can I have a wife? And is it, guys, anyone relate to me? No, yeah, women are a hard thing to deal with. No. No. Women are a blessing from God, too. No. I digress. But sometimes we pray things and God doesn't answer right away. I was praying that the Lord would help me to find my soulmate because I was getting nervous. I was getting up there in years. I was in the double digits for more than a decade because I was 25. My friends are all getting married. In fact, some of them had been dating for like 4 or 5 years already. And if I got to date someone for 4 or 5 years, I'm going to be like into the third decade of my life. Like, God, you got to go faster than that. I didn't like his answer. And I figured it wasn't a no, or I was praying it wasn't a no, and it wasn't. But God didn't answer that prayer right away. What was my response? Well, you know, honestly, we can have different responses to God, right? When he doesn't answer our prayers right away. Let me show you what Zechariah and his wife's answer to prayer. And it doesn't come right out and say, well, this is what they said, but look at what they do or how they act. It says this in verse 5, at the end of 5. They were... Zechariah, who belonged to the priestly division of Abijah, and his wife, Elizabeth, also a descendant of Aaron, both of them were upright in the sight of God and observing all of the Lord's commandments and regulations blamelessly. Other versions of the Bible say they followed him faithfully. Actually, I even prefer that translation better, that they followed him faithfully. That's a way to respond to an unanswered prayer, with faith and faithfulness. You see, you can respond with faithfulness in your serving of God and in your attitude towards God through your faithfulness. You show your faith in God through your faithfulness. See, if you don't trust God, then you're going to be angry with him, or you're going to be frustrated with him, or you're going to cry out, or you're going to go off and go in the opposite direction of God. You're going to go off in your own way, and you're going to find yourself in sin. But if you have faith in God that he knows what he's doing, even if the answer is no, you can't have a girlfriend, or you can't have a wife, or you can't have a husband, then if you have faith that God knows what he's doing, that he is sovereign, then you'll be faithful to him regardless of his answer. See that? So your faith in God is demonstrated through your faithfulness to him. It's in your response to God. Does everyone see that? I hope so. It was one of the things that the Lord impressed on my heart, is that there are different ways that we can respond to God. Will we have faith or anger? Will we be content with what God has in store or planned for us? Can we be content with it? They, I believe, both Zechariah and Elizabeth would have been content. They would have learned to live with the idea that they wouldn't have children. And in fact, it says here that they were faithful or blameless, but... See, the next word is but in verse 7. Oh, I can't see if that is a 7. Yes. But they had no children. See, they were faithful even though it didn't look like God was being faithful to them. See, remember, having children was seen as God's blessing. And so they were faithful to God even though the rest of the world wouldn't have thought that God was faithful to them. But they were still faithful to the Lord. I believe this, that God delights in working in the lives of his people. That's my faith. I hope that's your faith too, that God delights in working in the lives of people, and most importantly, that he likes to work in the lives of people who trust him and who serve him faithfully. You see, they both were faithful to the Lord. And regardless of whether they had children or not, they would follow him. Now, it doesn't mean that they gave up completely. You see, I think they, along with all of us, realize that sometimes no just means not yet. And so we know that because it says that God has answered your prayer. And so we know that they had continued to pray this, and they hadn't given up. Maybe they were content to live without a child, but still hopeful that God would bless them in that way. I know that God blesses in lots of different ways, but they wanted God to bless them in that way, and God eventually did. But it was according to his time. So God does delight in working through... How did I write this? That God delights in working through people who listen and obey him. Now, Zechariah, when he was chosen to be the priest that serves before the Lord, this was not just a regular thing. You see, there were a lot of priests around, and the priests at that time would have certain times when they would go in and they would serve in the temple. And then out of those priests that would serve in the temple, they would cast lots to see who would get to go in the inmost place. And now I'm not sure if anyone's ever taught this about what they do to the priest that goes right into the Holy of Holies, how they give him special robes and they put little bells on the bottom so that you can hear if he's walking around. And they even tie a rope around his leg so that if he falls dead, they can pull him out, because only the priest, the high priest, can go in there. Well, this is kind of the same idea that, you know, they have such fear and reverence for the Lord, so that when you go into the presence of God, you want to make sure that you have no sin. And what happens to Zechariah when he gets in there? He walks in there. We don't know if this is the first time he's ever had the lots kind of fall on him, but we know that he does consider it a huge privilege, because this may be his first time, it may be his last time that he ever gets to serve the Lord in this way. And what happens when he walks into that place to burn the incense? He sees an angel. Now, people that have been struck dead in the presence of God don't come out and tell you what happens, right? They don't. Okay, well, the first thing that you see before you're struck dead is you see an angel, and then he's got this sword, and then he says, prepare to meet your maker, and then he goes, chop. No, and then he, oh, guys, by the way, this is what I, no, we, no one knows what happens, right? And so he goes in there, and oh my goodness, there's an angel. And we know he's afraid because, well, two reasons. In verse 12, when Zechariah saw him, he was startled and was gripped with fear. And the second clue, if you didn't get it already, the angel says, do not be afraid. So there's two clues. So we know he was afraid. He was, uh-oh, I see an angel. Is this it? Am I? We don't know. Or, I mean, he was scared, right? He's like, oh, no. What's going to happen to me now? But the fact that Zechariah was chosen on that particular day, at that particular time, wasn't a coincidence. A coincidence is just God's way of staying anonymous. That's what I like to say anyways. And so God's hand was upon all of that. And so Zechariah was going in there, and he was afraid when he saw the angel. The angel gives him good news. Hey, kind of like what happens in a couple of weeks when we read about the shepherds with good news. Stuff. Do not be afraid. Your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. Interesting, his response this time. You see, when he's serving God for many years, and God doesn't seem to be answering his prayers, he's faithful. Now, he realizes he's talking face to face with an angel who's like, you know, knows God pretty well. You know, I don't know many angels that, you know, don't talk to God, I guess. I don't know. I've never really met an angel other than my wife. You can all tell her that the next time you see her. Oh, now I got lost. Where was I with that thought? Oh, my wife. Ah, love her. Okay. Oh, yes, he was shocked. So he sees this angel. He's scared. And you're going to have a child, and he's talking to this angel, and it doesn't say in the Bible whether Zechariah is smart or not, but at this moment, it wasn't one of his best moments, and I would consider him rather silly or dozy or even downright dumb. Well, how can this be? How can this be? I'm getting pretty old, and my wife, well, oh, she's ancient. Okay, now, he doesn't know it's going to be recorded in here for his wife to see for the rest of her life. But what's going on here is he has doubt. He's talking to an angel of the Lord. Now, there's a lot of different accounts in the Bible where it talks about angels, right? And oftentimes the angels, the first thing they have to say is, do not be afraid, right? Sometimes an angel comes and people mistake them for God, and they and then the angel says, don't bow before me. And remember the angel at the tomb, and it shocks the guards, and they're like dead men. And you can imagine that an angel's, I always think of them anyways, as rather large, probably 8 or 9 feet or something, and then they have these big bulky wings going up, and they're probably quite imposing figures standing before you. And you can imagine that they're glowing a little bit, you know, like the movies make them seem. And you realize that this is a holy being, servant of God, and you're like, yeah, right. Basically, you're saying, I don't really believe you. How do I know this is true? How do I know you, angel, are really telling me the truth? Okay, like I said, not one of his finer moments in time. And he's showing his doubt. And I just wanted to point that out, because this is what God kind of showed me, that no matter how long you've known God, you can still doubt. It doesn't necessarily mean that doubt is a good thing, but your pastor, Pastor Stan, he sometimes has doubts. I sometimes have doubts. I don't get it. Are you sure, God? Maybe your elders or your deacons or the person next to you. Actually, I bet you if you turn to the person next to you, you ever have doubts? If they're being honest with you, they'll probably say, yeah. And so regardless of whether someone has known the Lord for a long time and they are upright in the sight of God, observing the laws and commandments blamelessly, they can still at times have doubts. And so don't let doubts be a foothold for Satan to say, you can't serve God, you doubted. Because here is a priest of the Lord doubting an angel's talking to him. Now, I don't know about you, if I was in there and I was in Zechariah's position, would I have said, oh, logically, because I have a logical, mathematical mind, oh, you are an angel. You must have been talking to God. So therefore, what you say to me is obviously from God, because we are in a holy place and only, you know, someone that is intimate with the Lord can be in here. So therefore, I believe you, because I know in the scripture that God did this with Abraham and you know, and I can recount all of these things. I don't know if I would have done that, or if I would have been like, what? Because I know my biology. Biology says, you know, once my wife hits this certain age, and once I become, you know, this senile, you know, and it's not going to happen. You know, would I have had doubts? You know what? I probably would have. I would have been like, seriously? I'm like 80? I don't know. Is that too old? 60? 50? 30. I just got married. I don't know. But it's okay to have, or it's not okay to have doubt, but when you have doubt, you can still be faithful to the Lord. And in fact, even though he has doubts, and it may have just been a moment of doubt, he still then lives out faithfully. Because later on in the story, if you read through the rest of it, which you can do over your Christmas preparations, the time comes for them to have their child. And then his wife says, we'll call him John. And they're like, you can't call him John. You don't have a John in your family line. So come on, call him Zechariah Jr. Or call him, what was that name? Call him Abijah the Second. Or you don't have a John. But then Zechariah is faithful, and he knows that he had heard from the Lord. And he says, his name is John. and he has his voice back. So Zechariah, when he was in there, was experiencing something supernatural. I mean, it's not every day when you see an angel or talk to an angel. And he was experiencing, God's promise given to him. You know, this word here we call the Bible, this is filled with God's promises for us, isn't it? And we know that these are true because we know that God is faithful. And yet, sometimes we doubt too. And you see, we've been given, let's look at Zechariah first, Zechariah, because Zechariah is experiencing this incredible supernatural moment, and yet he's thinking in the natural. Get that? When he says, how can this be? He's thinking in the natural realm, isn't he? And he's doubting God because he's thinking, well, the natural way things go is this. And he's not thinking on the supernatural level that our God is a God of miracles. And sometimes we need to remember that we serve a God who is all powerful. We serve a God who is all powerful. So even though Zechariah was faithful, he still had a lot to learn. And I think that's one of the reasons why the angel said, you won't be able to speak. I'll teach you a lesson. See, he had something to learn. So I know Pastor Stan's not there, but he always sits there, right? So when I said that Pastor Stan sometimes has doubts, you know, I didn't say that to make him look bad. I said that so that you as a congregation will pray for your pastor and that you will encourage him in your walk with the Lord and in his walk with the Lord, that you will be a body of believers who will encourage one another, because there will be times when you doubt and you need someone, a brother or a sister or a spouse, to come and encourage you in your walk with God. So I say that. That faithful people can still have things to learn. So when you're reading the scripture like I've been doing, you know, share the things that you've learned with people. Because maybe they're not reading their Bible as much as you. Or maybe, you know, God is teaching you these things so that you could be a blessing to someone else. So I'm sharing these thoughts with you because these are the things that I gleaned out of the scripture as I was preparing for Christmas. I wrote down that I was going to say one little story here, and I know you guys always like my stories, and my wife said not to. So, shh. You can tell her I called her an angel, but don't tell her I said this. I hope she doesn't ask me because I can't lie to her. Okay. Last night, I was praying that the Lord would give me an illustration because I didn't really have a good one. And so I prayed, Lord, can you just give me a good illustration? Well, guess what? Last night when I went to bed, my wife is teaching in the Sunday school, and she has like so many props and everything. Like the whole living room is like Sunday school land, and she's got this going and this going, and I have to pack this up, and so she had a very restless sleep. Okay, and so when I'm lying in bed, and it always takes me a long time to sleep, I think I've shared that, and I finally just get to that point where, you know, you're just kind of like, My wife, because I'm a very light sleeper, she pops up and she goes, do you have your glasses on? And she was on my face. And it's like, no. Good. And she turned over and went right back to sleep. Well, now I'm totally awake. Thank you very much. So it was like, okay, God, I'm up. I still need an illustration, God. So in the morning, she said, oh, I didn't sleep very well last night. And I know. And I said, yeah, I know. Tell me about it. And she said, what do you mean? So I told her that story. And guess what? She didn't believe me. Just like Zechariah didn't believe there. See, wasn't that a good example? And I'm a holy man. And hey, now that wasn't the joke part, right? No, she doesn't even believe her own husband. What am I going to make that up for, right? She wouldn't believe me. I said, I'm going to tell the congregation that. She said, don't you dare. I'm going to. No, but seriously, sometimes we doubt, right? We doubt when someone tells us something. Because you know what? We can't always trust people. Let's be honest with one another. You can't always trust the person next to you. And with my wife knows, she has to ask me very specific questions. If she says, did you eat any chips before dinner? I'll say, no. I didn't eat any. I ate those chips. See, she's got to be specific. Did you eat any chips out of this bag when I was making dinner for you so that you'd be hungry and I'd fill your belly? Kind of. Okay, and then she's caught me. But if she just says, hey, she'll usually say this, did you eat anything? No. I ate those, you know. You got to be specific. And sometimes you can't trust people, right? I'm giving you an example from my life. If you want to know, did I eat a Boston cream donut? Ask me, did you eat a Boston cream donut? Okay, don't say, did you eat anything? Not really. So you can't trust people, but can you trust God? Can you trust his word? Have you been praying and God given you a specific answer to prayer? And then it doesn't come right away? Or maybe you've been praying for a long time, like, Lord, I want grandchildren. Maybe some of you aren't that old yet, right? But I want a job. I want to get married. I want to learn another language. And God doesn't answer you right away. I want to kick this habit, this bad habit that I've had. Biting my fingernails, smoking, doing drugs, pornography. And you can't do it. God doesn't seem to be answering your prayer. God does answer your prayers. The key thing, though, is that until God fulfills an answer or a promise, will you be faithful the way Zechariah and Elizabeth were? They were faithful throughout. And God delights to work in the lives of people that serve him and follow him and are obedient to him and are content to follow his plan. It's hard sometimes, but we need to do it. And don't jump on someone just because they make a mistake or have a doubt, because here's a priest who doubted God. So let's pray together, and our worship team will lead us in one last song, I believe. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, that you teach us things, regardless of whether we've heard a passage that we've read in your word many times or the first time. We know, Lord, that you speak to us, and we pray, Lord, that, again, just your spirit would settle in our hearts and in our deep within us what we need to apply into our lives. Help us to be faithful, just as Zechariah and Elizabeth were faithful, even when there is unanswered prayer or seeming to be unanswered prayer in our lives. Help us to be faithful and to know that you are a faithful God and will be with us regardless of what is happening in our lives, and that you are with us throughout all things. Help us, Lord, when we have doubts. Increase our faith. Help us to be an encouragement to people around us when they might have doubts. Help us to be a body who understands one another and will not judge one another, but will encourage one another with our faith and with our faithfulness, show our faith in you. So we thank you, Lord, for this time that you've spoken to us through your word. Pray your blessing on the rest of this service and also this day and week. In Christ's name, amen.